Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. Hey, beauties, welcome back to our Monday podcast. I am so excited for our interview today. We have a very interesting perspective for you on healing, on self-empowerment, on emotional release. Our guest today is called Anahata Ananda, and she is the founder of Sedona's Shamangelic Healing, Spiritual Awakening, and Training Center. So she specializes in helping her clients make core life shifts. She's worked with shamans, energy healers, spiritual teachers from North America, Peru, and Asia. She is a powerhouse. She has lots of different information. This is an amazing interview. I can't wait for you to hear it. But before we dive in, I just want to call out our fan of the week. And this week it is, the name is 502Jemka07. And she writes, Kimberly and her guests are so knowledgeable about health and wellness. I've learned so much from them. They give you practical tips to help you make lasting lifestyle changes. I've been able to transform the way I look at my health and diet from listening to their wisdom. If you aren't listening to this podcast, you are missing out on some important information that you won't hear anywhere else. So 502Jemka07, thank you so much for your review, sending you love. So grateful that we are connected, and I look forward to hopefully connecting with you more. And for you, beauty, for your chance to also be shouted out as our fan of the week, please do take a few moments and leave a review for us on iTunes. It just takes a moment or two, and it's a wonderful way to support the podcast and to spread the light and love. You can also take a screenshot of the podcast on your phone right now and post it on your Instagram story or on your Facebook, or text it to a friend or family member that you think would benefit. And it's also a great way to spread the love. All right, let's dive into our interview. Hey, beauties. So here we are. We have Anahata Ananda, who is the founder of Sedona's Shamangelic Healing, Spiritual Awakening, and Training Center. She focuses on self-empowerment and emotional release with her clients. And we are so excited to have her with us today. Hello, Anahata.
Hi, Kimberly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to dive deep into kind of core healing and soul awakening for your audience today.
Yes, you know, and Anahata, it's interesting. We hear more and more, it's becoming more mainstream about shamans and shamanic healing. At least in some cities, I see even, you know, shamans coming into spas and offering treatments and counseling and different programs. And I wonder, for our listeners who are not familiar with shamanic practices, energy, I know you've trained with teachers in North America, Peru, India, and Asia. Can you tell us a little bit about what the premise of shamanic healing is?
Thank you for asking, because I want to demystify that for a little people that, you know, for some of the people that might not be familiar with that. And, you know, the term shamanism and shamanic healing, it's very broad, and there are many subsets within that. But primarily, these are going to be kind of more native customs, because we have shamanism on all different continents and, yes, and very, you know, and a lot of different varieties. And the shaman, the Aboriginal shamans work very different than the Peruvian shamans that are in the jungle, different than the Native Americans. And so it's a very broad term that addresses a lot of different, more native cultures and traditions that are really connected to the elements. They're connected to animal spirit teachings. They're connected to spirit, and really being in resonance and connection and in harmony with how all of those things are connected. In modern day, we just get disconnected from the divine. We get disconnected from Mother Earth's rhythms and the moon cycles. We get disconnected from the earth and earth energies that are actually very healing for the body, and the rhythms and the cycles of the seasons, and paying attention to what the elements are doing. And so our kind of intuition, or our kind of animal antenna, if you will, kind of retract in, and we become less intuitive and we become less sensitive to the vibrations that are happening around us.
So shamanism, wherever, you know, whatever continent it may be in, or whatever culture, is very much tied to nature. It sounds like what you're saying, whether it's working with animals or different plant medicines, or it sounds like, you know, when you're talking about some of the energies, is there an astrology element as well?
It depends on the culture and the tribe. If we look at Peru, and other tribes, a lot of their architecture is designed around the solstices, and their ceremonies were designed around the solstices and planting and celebration. Egypt as well, a lot of other cultures we see doing that. And so the calendar was the sun and the moon, because they didn't have the Gregorian calendar. And their wisdom teachers were water and mountains and trees and flowers, and their medicines were the plants, and they learned how to be in harmony with those things. And so I think today how we can adapt kind of modern day shamanism is to reconnect to those cycles and to those rhythms, and also to draw upon the wisdom teachings of plants and the elements and mountains, trees, flowers, and different animal spirits, because they all have something to teach us. And, you know, look, I was in corporate. I'm a mother of twins.
Twin girls or boys?
I have a boy and a girl. You know, I mean, so this was a path that I came home to. This wasn't what I was raised with, you know? And so, it was something that kind of I came to, because I felt so disconnected with and disenchanted with a life that I had created, following maybe society's constructs for happiness, and a path that really wasn't mine, and it wasn't really soulful. And I was disconnected from who I was, my own heartbeat, from the rhythms of nature and from the wisdom teachings that are all around. And I was very unhappy. I was stressed. I was divorcing. And I think that I was propelled into studying an alternative modality that would bring me back home to feeling whole again. And kind of studied all kinds of different modalities from different cultures, back into.
So my experience with shamans has, and again, I know there's different ones. The ones that I've been to Peru, I've encountered different shamans all around South America, besides Peru and Mexico. And there's the ones that I have been in contact with. There's an element of sound vibration, so there tends to be a lot of drumming. And again, working with different plants and plant medicines and things of that extent, is that part of your work as well?
Vibration. That is one aspect. Let's talk about different types of shamans, because there's there's the shamanic healer that is focused on moving out the darkness, facing fears, soul retrieval, coming back into wholeness again after some trauma or some disconnection. And so working with more, that's really my core body of work, is more emotional clearing and, shamanic clearing to kind of face the fears. Let's look at the density. Let's clear out the heaviness and let's bring in more light. And others will do that specifically with plant medicines, like an ayahuasquero from the jungle will do that with ayahuasca. There are many other plant medicines that can be used for that process. And that, of course, is not for everybody. And it depends on where you're at, what is really going to be a medicine rather than a poison. Because if it's really not what will fit you, then it will turn, even if it works for somebody else, if it's not the right thing, if it's not the right time, if it's not the right dose, it becomes a poison. Whether that's a glass of wine or an ayahuasca journey or dessert, anything can turn into a poison if it's not the right medicine for you at the right dose at the right time. Mm-hmm. So my focus is more shamanic emotional clearing, and also the more ceremonial aspect of returning to connection to the elements, returning to the connection with the cycles of nature, sun, moon, the seasons, and the elements, seems to be a very powerful roadmap to balance for modern day living.
So on a hot day, like, let's say, you know, a lot of us do live in urban centers, but when you're talking about ceremonies, really honoring the summer solstice and eclipses and acknowledging them and doing some kind of, again, whether it's a gathering in a group or a community or home ceremony, just staying rooted to those cycles, even though day in and day out we're living in an urban space, can be a way to keep our connection.
Yeah, you know, when I used to live in the heartbeat of New York City, right? I never saw the sun.
I never saw the stars.
Never saw the stars unless they were walking down the street, you know, and never knew what the moon was doing. And so that was part of what really disconnected me to natural rhythms. And so I think that having those connections to, oh, wait, another moon cycle has passed, which is also a month, you know, it's 28 days of like, oh, it's been 28 days, give or take, from the last full moon. Maybe it's time for me to look at what am I releasing or surrendering. And during the new moon, it's wonderful to plant seeds as the new moon then opens and expands. From there, we go from no moon to a full moon. So during the full moon, it's wonderful to celebrate and let go. And in the new moon, it's nice to plant seeds. Same with the season.
And what about in between, like when it's waxing and waning? What are those cycles?
Listen to what's happening. So if you've planted, setting this intention, let's say on the new moon that says, hey, you know, I really want to birth this new thing, or I'm planting this new seed, then you want to be paying attention to what blocks are coming up, what feelings are coming up, what fears are coming up, and working through those before you get to the next cycle. So that, because otherwise we plant an intention, let's just say we do it, you know, with the Gregorian calendar, we do it for New Year's. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, get in shape. I'm going to quit this thing and I'm going to start this other thing. And we don't ever go back and honor that until the next year. And this is what's nice about being on the lunar calendar. We can say, how am I doing? It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. And, you know, or another moon cycle has passed. Did I meet my intentions? It gives us a chance to feel it and stay connected with it along the way.
I love that. On the hot tub, we had another guest and we were talking about intentions for each month and writing out cards, which I think is a really lovely practice. But hearing you talk, and I love, you know, for where I live now, I can see the moon all the time, and I just feel really connected more than ever in my life to these shifts. I really felt the eclipses for the first time. I really felt the summer solstice. I think it's nice to actually maybe create intentions, like instead of, okay, May starts, June starts, maybe around the new moon cycle, like you said, and really putting, because then we have the universal energy supporting those intentions.
Right. And along with that, we can do that with the seasons. That says, you know, I'm going into the winter solstice. This is hibernation. This is a time for me to kind of reflect and, you know, revisit. Is there anything that I want to do differently? What has worked? What has not worked? You know, that winter season and that winter solstice is a great time for reflection and hibernation and rest and clarity, so that when it comes time in March to be in alignment with the spring equinox, then there is clarity and the energy is replenished. For what am I birthing? Now I have energy. Now I have focus. And then, you know, otherwise we're just kind of always going at the fire element. Go, go, go.
Yeah, we're going against the natural rhythms, aren't we? Which isn't how modern world is. It's not as supportive of having this time to, you know, rest and have space and pauses. And you're right. That's how we burn out our adrenals. We get insomnia and anxiety and all these, you know, rises of just enormous rise of all these very you know, stress-related disorders and inflammation in our bodies and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think it's important to tune back into that.
And that's another way of looking at that. So we can do that through the seasons. That's exactly right. Another way of looking at it, I like to use kind of a medicine wheel map of the elements that says, am I in balance with my four elements? And so our culture tends to run by the adrenals, which are associated with the fire element, you know, in the third chakra center of the body is fire. And we tend to go, go, go. No wonder the adrenals are burning out and we're having so many immune system disorders and cancers and different immune related and inflammation and burnout and stress, fatigue, and all of that happening because in our wheel, if it's in balance, then we're not running fire all the time.
Sure.
There's seasons for fire, just like the spring. Okay, let's go, let's birth. And then after I birth, let's celebrate. We reap the harvest, you know, let's play. And the element, you know, that is more playful and celebration in the earth, we have a harvest. And when we, then there's the water element, which is like our emotional body. And we want to honor those changes of, wow, I'm letting go of something now. The mm-hmm. season has come to a close. You know, I birthed that book, let's just say, or I birthed this child, or this child is going off to college, or I'm closing a chapter, I'm closing this business, I'm ending this relationship. We want to give time and would be associated with the water element along with the fall season, just like fall, let's go of the leaves and the trees kind of let go of the leaves and the branches that have served their purpose. There is such beautiful medicine and balance to honoring the letting go and the surrendering. And we're so quick because it's uncomfortable. We're not so culturally accustomed to embracing our grief.
Yes.
Or closing a chapter. We don't want to feel it. We want to go on to the next chapter, the next relationship, the next book, the next project. And in so, it doesn't allow the real healing to happen of, wow, this chapter has closed.
You've heard me talk about the importance of being aware of what you put on your skin and particularly your underarms. That's why I've got to tell you about the aluminum-free deodorant that's changing the game in the natural deodorant space, Kopari. First off, yes, it works. It fights odor with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and it keeps you feeling fresh, even on your longest days. I believe we should let our bodies naturally detox, so instead of plugging up your sweat glands, Kopari's deodorant takes care of any smell without messing with your body's natural patterns. I've been using Kopari's deodorant now for a few weeks, and it doesn't leave behind any sticky white residue, just a sweet, subtle smell of fresh coconut milk. So I really like that it's coconut oil based, and I just think it's a nice, clean product to share. It happens to be free of silicones, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda, so it's great for sensitive skin as well. This is Kopari's number one selling product. I encourage you to embrace your underarms, give them some love, and give Kopari a try, and they offer a money-back guarantee, so there's no reason not to. Go to kopari.com/beauty to make the safe switch today, and see how you can save $5 off your first order. That's Kopari, Kopari.com/beauty. Kopari.com/beauty.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
You may often wonder, can healthy be delicious? With Sunbasket Meal Kits, the answer is yes. Forget flavorless diet food. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Just go to the Sunbasket app and pick from 18 weekly recipes. There are many different options, including vegan, gluten-free, lean and clean, paleo, Mediterranean, family options, and much more. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce and responsibly raised ingredients and selections. And the best part, Sunbasket is delivered in perfect portions with reliable nutrition information, and it's ready to whip up in about 30 minutes. There's something for every healthy journey and every busy lifestyle. Sunbasket delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Go to sunbasket.com/beauty today to learn more and to get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/beauty for $35 off. sunbasket.com/beauty. That's amazing, Anahata. I have to say that, you know, in our culture, for instance, I will share as a mother, and I know you're a mother too, mm-hmm. but for me, having Bubby, my son is 2 now, and I'm just really enjoying this time with him. I work at home and, like, you know, I just love it. I'm with him and I'm just being here now. But for a lot of us mothers, once you have one child, it's like, well, when are you going to have the next one? And I'm right. like, oh, well, you know, for me, I am not going to have them back to back. You know, I want to wait a little bit and have that pause, but it's like, oh no, this like this almost like pressure, this frantic energy of like the next. And I'm with you. Like, I think like honoring the pause, and it's different for everybody. And for me, just really enjoying this time and breathing and balancing my life and getting back to me and getting everything going is like, just didn't feel right to me personally to have my second child very, very close, you know, right. but it was always like, when's the next one coming?
Right. And, you know, this is about being with the present that, okay, 2 is 2 and it's not 2 months old, you know, because then when we're in the present, we're realizing, okay, I have a 2-year-old, which is different than having a 2-month-old, you know, 2-month-old.
Yes.
And we get to be with the gifts and the challenges of what each phase brings instead of, oh, I can't wait till they're, you know, I can't wait till the next chapter
right.
when they're more independent and I have, you know, or
we
kind of rush the beauty of the season and it's kind of like, no, we don't really enjoy the fruits of that season. And, you know, like no rose blossoms 12 months out of the year. You know, for many months of the year, it's just dormant sticks and it's brown and it, you know, it doesn't look very pretty. But what it's doing is it's preparing itself for the next, you know, season where the flower can be really beautiful and really fragrant. Unless it rests, unless it honors, where do I need to rebuild? I need to come inward a little bit. And the process of being pregnant and birthing and nursing, like there's also a coming back to your own body and your own rhythms as you find a new path with being a mother, because, you know, it's different than 3 years ago. And your body needs to adjust. And there's something beautiful about giving that space and not rushing that process. One of my dear girlfriends, she was just here visiting because she's just sending her daughter off to college. And, you know, her daughter just turned 18 and she's like, was crying and crying and crying the whole time. I'm like, yes, this is perfect. You're honoring the water element. There is a big 18-year chapter closing because your little baby is now turning into a young woman and she's going away to college and you get to let her go. And we're going to keep letting go as mothers, as parents, as business entrepreneurs, whatever. We're going to let go of our parents. We're going to let go of our children. They're going to change from being a baby to a toddler. Then they're going to go and be a teenager and then they're going to go leave the house. And, you know, we want to embrace the phases of change and our bodies yes. are going to go through change as well. We're not going to stay 18 or 28 or 38. We also want to embrace, oh, well, this is who I am at this age and this stage of my business, of my relationship, of my body, of my health. And And that way we can really sustain being in joy when we're in the present with it. And so I think that elemental wheel and the seasonal wheel kind of helps honor. I don't have to be happy all the time, because sometimes the most beautiful emotion is going to be really being present with my grief that I'm letting go, you know, letting go of a daughter that's going off to college. And like, that's part of being really alive, I think.
So Anahata, I actually read a story. It was an anecdote about a shaman who was saying to a hunter that, or it was something about when the hunter comes to the shaman and he's not able to get any game. Mm-hmm. And the shaman knows it's not because there isn't game out there. He knows that there's game out there. It's something within the hunter that needs to be addressed, or maybe that's even driving away the game. So this was, you know, again, the story about, what would you say to someone, to our listeners who are, you know, and I hear it all the time from people, from friends, oh, there's no good jobs out there, or there's no good girls, or, you know, men, whatever, opposite sexes or same sex, whatever your preference is. What would you say to that blaming the scarcity out there versus some kind of energy shift within you?
Right. And so when we're not ready for the lesson, when we're still in denial about the lesson, then the languaging that you're going to hear from somebody is blame, victim, I can't, it's their fault. They're going to sedate because it's too overwhelming and they're not ready to really dive into whatever the real issue is. And it's pretty commonplace to ignore, blame, sedate, and distract. I mean, that's kind of the social modern way of dealing with overwhelm. And the lesson doesn't go away. So that hunter, let's say that example, is going to keep going hungry until they're starving enough to be motivated to say, I've got to do something differently. And this is where I think it's so crucial when you're releasing emotion, you know, to address, you know, the past with the emotional wounds, because if you don't make peace with the past, it's going to become your future over and over and over again.
How do we do that? You go in and let yourself feel it.
That is definitely the first part, is to acknowledge, oh, I'm in a classroom. This isn't about, you know, this person. This isn't about this environment. This isn't about anything else. This is a classroom I'm in right now. I'm uncomfortable because the universe and my soul is trying to wake me up to something that I'm not paying attention to in order for me to heal it, transmute it, learn something, grow, rise above it so that I can attract that thing that I'm ready for. It's kind of like staying in second grade forever. Like, no.
Well, it's like some people, you know, I have a friend who shall remain unnamed, of course, but she, every
to
single
remain a friend.
Yeah, exactly. She's beautiful, beautiful girl. Every single guy that she is with cheats on her. And it's almost like all different kinds of people. Like, it's weird. It's like, it always happens to her. And there's something like, you know, this hunter analogy, it's almost like she's attracting it to her. It's weird. I don't know what it is.
Because there's something, you know, that wants to evolve out of that pattern, which means until she makes different choices, the test is going to keep repeating itself. So if we take a test and we fail, we don't get to move on to the next grade. We have to keep taking the test until we make a different choice and pass the test. And so what is happening with that is, I always attract cheaters. I always attract cheaters. Everybody always cheats on me. Okay. Well, then if we're really stepping into empowerment, then we're like, huh, let me go back to, just as if we failed a test in school, we're going to go back and look if we're ready to really learn, if we want a different outcome.
Yeah.
We fail again and we don't study, we don't revisit our choices from the past to learn and do something different. So in this case, it's like, okay, I failed. Not the teacher was a jerk or that was a trick question. It's like, I failed this test again and again and again. I keep attracting this pattern of guys that cheat on me, as an example. Then we start to look at, well, what do I believe about myself? What choices do I keep making that keep allowing this in? Meaning, maybe I rush into a situation with somebody. Maybe I'm too hungry to take time to get to know them.
Yeah, it seems like a self-love issue, maybe. Like there's warning signs and she ignores them or, you know, whatever.
I have thousands and thousands of clients that I work with this all the time. It's just like, we'll be 10 years into a marriage and, he's cheating. I said, let's go back to when was the first clue? You're like, well, he was hitting on my sister on our second date. If we're a good student, then we go back and look at where we failed and say, I failed at following my intuition. I failed at paying attention to the red flags right in my face. Let me ask you another one.
Let me give you another situation. I'm going to throw this at you. This is similar to the hunter. Another one of my good friends, who shall also remain nameless, lives in northern Manhattan, like the high part of Manhattan, whatever. She's been there for a while. She's also beautiful, creative, has a good job. Like she's got her stuff together. And she has not been in a relationship for some years. And so you can blame the outside and be like, oh, there's more women than men in New York City. But back to this hunter analogy where, oh, but people are meeting each other all the time and everywhere, you know? So what would you say to someone like that going within her? Like, why isn't she able to meet anybody? And she's doing online dating. It hasn't really worked out for her. She's, you know, being out and about, meeting friends of friends. What would you say to someone like that?
So I think there's a couple different things there. Sometimes in relationships, we don't really have the tools to navigate a conscious relationship. And so we might attract Mr. Wonderful, but we don't know how to have the conscious tools to be able to honor where they are instead of.
Well, what if she's not attracting anybody?
Right. Now? Okay. So then I would go back to how she feels about herself.
Yeah. You
know,
okay.
So that way it's like, because if I don't know who I am, and if I'm not content, whether I'm in a relationship or out of a relationship, if my worth is determined on my relationship status, she's screwed, because then there's always this reaching and there's not a feeling wholeness without a relationship. And until she feels really content in like, I'm good, I'm fabulous, whether I'm in a relationship or out of a relationship, I'm not seeking, yearning, needy and empty. I'm not whole, waiting for someone to rescue me. I'm not saying that that's her story, but there is an underlying feeling that there's something wrong based on like, I'm fabulous and content and I know who I am outside of a relationship, because that way you can attract someone that respects who you are, and you're also not attracting somebody that you're reaching to fill you in wholeness, because then you're going to come into these codependent patterns to try to control and manipulate them not to leave you.
Mm.
And you'll push away and sabotage a great relationship just to keep that relationship status of, well, I met somebody great, but now here I'm going to start to smother it, because if I don't know who I am and I don't respect myself outside of the relationship, I'll tolerate and engage in unhealthy codependent behavior to keep it.
Mm. And, you know, part of this idea of wholeness and really tuning into ourselves, you know, we talk about it in so many different aspects here in our community. And as far as the shamanic work, you know, going back to that for a moment about the cycles of nature. And I think you mentioned there was an element in your work with spirit animals that can help guide us with our wholeness. How do we know what our spirit animal is?
Well, that's a great question.
You just pick one or it comes in a dream?
That's a great question.
I have to say, I have no idea what my spirit animal would be.
I think that in a lot of the native traditions, an animal will give us courage to help us respect that we're a little different than somebody else and to honor our strength. Let's say it's bear medicine and it's just like, okay, I have 4 feet on the ground. Look, I'm not a bird. I'm not a dolphin. This is who I am. And these are my rhythms. This is how I am. And it's a way of kind of accepting that I'm not meant to be an eagle. I'm not meant to be something else. It's acknowledging your individuality, first of all.
That's one. Is it choosing one that you kind of align with their energies?
Well, there's a couple different ways, because there can be an animal spirit guide that at different times through different life changes, maybe you're going through a big life metamorphosis and a butterfly might help you through the metamorphosis, but that doesn't mean it's your guide for life. you know? And other times a spirit, an animal just kind of comes in and it's just like this animal, the wisdom of it, its strength, its courage, how it navigates change, whether it goes through a transformation, whether it hibernates, kind of fits who I am regardless of the changes going that I'm going through in life. And that's kind of more a spirit animal for the duration of life. Mm. And that's something that really takes sitting with, you know, and because like I mentioned, we've come so disconnected from animals, we may not really know when we live in New York City, for example, because all we see is maybe pigeons and rats.
and very, very well-groomed doggies.
That's what, you know, we don't see animals in the wild.
Yeah.
Necessarily. And so this might also be, as we were saying before, part of our coming back is coming back home into wholeness is also whether that's on the moon cycle or every month or seasonally getting ourselves out into wild nature. And I don't mean Central Park. I mean like where nature is alive and we can start to feel because your guide may not necessarily be an animal because it could be a mountain, it could be stream, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to, your spirit guide can come in more forms than just an animal.
Really? Oh my gosh. When you said that, Anahata, I have to say that in the last, over a year since my mom passed away, I switched from doing a yoga practice daily, almost like, you know, a asana practice to just beach walks. And I really feel grounded from the connection of the earth, but the water, I feel like the water is so healing and it teaches me to flow. So I feel very connected to water.
Right. And so that might be really also honoring the emotional aspect of, you know, your mother, the feminine energy and feeling triggered by something that isn't your mom anymore, you know, and that water element, and we call that Mama Kocha, and that's the ocean, that's grandmother ocean. And like I was just in Kauai recently, and I'm like, that just floating in that and just being held by the salt water is so nourishing, and it's a spirit guide for me. It's a personality. It's a grandmother that just holds me. It allows me to surrender. I feel really connected and peaceful, and that might be just a guide that provides support at different times. And so it's kind of different today with modern day is that we might have lots of different guides that sometimes it might be very different and we might need just go sit with a mountain. Where can I be grounded and solid and strong and steady and stay my course, which is very different than that grandmother ocean energy. And so we can have this whole opening, which is so exciting, Kimberly, to open up to have all these different kinds of spiritual guides depending on what we're going through and what medicine we need to feel more whole in a given moment. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't limit us just to a butterfly or a bear, because it can be like, well, gosh, what do I really need right now to feel strong? And what wisdom might really help me navigate the change that I'm going through right now? And that's where shamanism has been really valuable and helpful for me, because it opened up this whole realm beyond just angels, which is very valuable, or an ascended master or a guide or a relative that's on the other side, because I also have trees and roses and a rainbow and a butterfly and, you know, gosh, each throughout the day, different times for different things, depending on what I'm going through, really helps me come back to center. And maybe a dove in the middle of a busy work day lands at the bird feeder and I'm just staring at it going, oh yeah, breathe. Where am I not being peaceful? And that might not be my spirit guide for life, but I'll tell you right in that moment, it just shifted everything. It got me to breathe. It got me to step away from my computer and it got me to bring in peace.
Mm.
And like that really helped me in that moment.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Anahata, for bringing this perspective of connecting. And no, but it's amazing to see how we can combine living our modern lives and going about our busy world, but also staying rooted to the earth and animals and moon cycles and nature. And I think it's a really beautiful perspective, because
we feel disconnected, but we're actually part of this whole and we are part of nature. And this is something that I've spoken about a lot in my writing and, you know, my third book, particularly Beauty Detox Power. And so, yeah, I'm on board with all this. I think it's really great. So thank you so much for offering all this information. And we're so happy to have you.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for bringing some alternative approaches. I mean, I was mainstream, you know, corporate, like stand every day, you know, I'm very, very mainstream and, you know, feeling so disconnected and unhappy and getting a diagnosis, going through a divorce and, you know, all of that kind of catalyzed. Maybe there's other things. I was failing a test at life and like maybe my soul can draw upon other nourishment and other perspectives to help me recenter, to give me guidance, to make me feel more whole, to help me recenter, to help navigate life changes, to help me let go, to help me grieve, to help me be courageous and strong. And it's just so much fun. And I have all kinds of resources to help people kind of navigate some different perspectives to help them get
awesome.
Back on track and follow dreams, right?
Yes. And we will link to your website. Everyone, you can check out Anahata's website in the show notes, which is shamangelichealing.com. You can get the direct link there. And as she mentioned, she has different resources. And you could also check out information about her center in Sedona. So thank you again so much, Anahata. I feel like we can keep talking. And this is such an amazing, amazing topic.
I want to give a shout out to you. Thank you for following your dream. Thank you for listening to your soul's path and being courageous and bold and sharing this wisdom with so many others and light and a path for others to follow and just honoring who you are and where you're going and what you're bringing out into the world. So total gratitude for you. And
thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. You know, we're all here to support each other and give love and we just keep going and growing and learning every day. So thank you.
Yeah. See you in Sedona soon.
Yes. Hopefully. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, beauties. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Anahata, who is such a beautiful soul, a wealth of information. So have a wonderful rest of your day. And a little shout out again, if you haven't left a review for us on iTunes, please just take a few moments, go over there and do it right now. Such a great way to spread the love. And we appreciate it so much. Thanking you in advance. Remember, we will be back here on Thursday for our Q&A podcast. So till then, take great care. Remember, if you need any more recipes or information or support, you can also head over to KimberlySnyder.com for all of those goodies and more. Lots of love, beauty. See you back here soon. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.